Chelsea defeat Real Madrid to reach the 2021 Champions League final.
Pulisic here, goalkeeper Courtois has gone down, narrows the angle, tees it up for 2-0 on the night. Mason Mount has surely sent Chelsea into the Champions League final.
The Blues will be hoping to repeat their heroics of 2012.
Didier Drogba to win the UEFA Champions League. Blue is the colour. Chelsea are kings of Europe for the first ever time.
And they'll face Manchester City in Istanbul.
Foden across the face of goal. And Riyad Mahrez has scored again. Manchester City are heading towards Istanbul and the final of the UEFA Champions League.
We'll sum up Chelsea's victory and we'll look ahead to the showpiece in Turkey later on this month. Welcome from myself, Chris Parrott, commentator Phil Blacker and the European football journalist Kevin Hatchard join me to review a wonderful night for Chelsea Football Club as they knocked Real Madrid out to join Manchester City in the Champions League final. Kevin, very, very hard to argue they didn't deserve to go through. That was a stellar performance from Thomas Tuchel's team.
It was tremendous. It was a triumph of coaching. I think Thomas Tuchel won the tactical battle. I think we've seen the belief that he's instilled in these players. I think we've seen the structure that he's brought to Chelsea since arriving at the club. There's real faith in the system that they play. And the individual stood up as well. N'Golo Kante, brilliant in midfield. Timo Werner got a very important goal for him personally. Kai Havertz, his best performance as a Chelsea player. And defensively, they were excellent. And even the goalkeeper, Edouard Mendy, who made two fine saves in the first half, including one world-class stop from Karim Benzema. So a massive night for the football club and a massive night for so many of those young players. Because, yes, there's some experience in there, but there's also some guys on the first few steps of their football journey.
Yeah, Andreas Christensen before the match said, yeah, it probably is the biggest match of my life. Well, he's got one which is going to trump it in 3.5 weeks' time. Phil Blacker, you commentated on the game. You have the difficult task now of summing it up in three words, which is a tradition on the podcast, but a lot happened in that 90 minutes.
It did. Too much for three words, I think. So I'm going to keep it simple and just go with Chelsea too strong, which, given the level of opposition they faced, is saying something, but they were certainly worthy winners.
They were. Thomas Tuchel, by the way, the first ever manager to take charge of different clubs in consecutive Champions League finals. He was there with Paris Saint-Germain last August. And what, 10 months on or so, he is going to be there now with Chelsea, hoping for a better outcome when his team play against Manchester City. OK, how did it happen then? It was 1-1 after the first leg in Madrid. Here's how matters unfolded at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea hosted Real Madrid in the second leg of their semi-final.
Chelsea come forward with N'Golo Kante, shifting it on to Kai Havertz, able to take the touch and dinks it onto the crossbar. Werner is there when it comes down to nod it in from right under the goal. A crucial goal for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. 1-0 on the night and 2-1 they lead on aggregate.
That all starts with the excellence of N'Golo Kante. We talk about him, Phil, breaking up opposition attacks, but that shows what he can do when he's on the attack.
Modric delivers into the middle, Benzema gets his head to it, it's another brilliant save from Mendy, and it's the Chelsea goalkeeper standing between Benzema and Parity on the night. The ball is in from Azpilicueta, and it was a really good effort which thumps back off the bar from Kai Havertz.
One of the big weapons that he has in his arsenal is that aerial strength, and he didn't miss by much. He is a real danger in the air.
Here comes Chelsea on the counter-attack again, though. Havertz is in, Courtois up quickly to make the save. Really important stop. Kai Havertz had time to set himself. He was away from Ramos, and it's the outstretched right boot of Courtois that has maybe kept Real Madrid in this semi-final.
Well, the first thing is it's a brilliant save, but Havertz really will feel he should have scored. He had lots of time, so it's a fine save, but it's one that he shouldn't have been able to make.
Timo Werner shimmies away from Luka Modric and sets off on the charge for Chelsea with support either side. Timo Werner does have N'Golo Kante to his left, and again Courtois is out quickly to make the save with his legs and keep out Kante. N'Golo Kante's got to the loose ball. ball first, the head of Nacho shifts it back towards Pulisic here. Goalkeeper Cordwell has gone down, narrows the angle, tees it up for 2-0 on the night. Mason Mount has surely sent Chelsea into the Champions League final. A place in the UEFA Champions League final for Chelsea. They've seen off the might of Madrid tonight in some style at Stamford Bridge. Full-time, Chelsea 2, Real Madrid 0. It is Chelsea through to the final, 3-1 on aggregate.
Chelsea's evening at Stamford Bridge, will it be Chelsea's year? Timo Werner after 28 minutes, Mason Mount after 85. Phil Blacker with the commentary. He and Kevin Hatchard watched the game for Match Day Live. And in the second half, before that ultimate killer goal went in, Kev, I noted down five golden chances that Chelsea spurned. And until that late goal, despite the dominance, extra time was on the cards if Real Madrid could have scored, but they weren't made to pay for some of the misses tonight.
Yeah, Chelsea created so many opportunities on the counter, and that's where they look so dangerous. And what I really enjoy about Chelsea at the moment is they do have flexibility. They can hurt you in lots of different ways. They can control the tempo, they can dominate possession, they can grind you down, or they'll say, fine, you have the ball, we'll hit you on the counter. They are so very good at using different approaches to damage teams. And that's been extremely impressive since Tuchel got there. And you have to give the club as a whole some credit, because you look at their era of success and it's based on bold choices. They will change the coach if they feel it's not going well. They took a guy who is a club legend as a player in Frank Lampard and felt that it wasn't going how they wanted it to go. They brought in Thomas Tuchel, and that has proven to be the right option, because they're now in a Champions League final. They're already in an FA Cup final. There's a good chance that they would qualify for this tournament again next season through the Premier League. And it's undeniable the impact that Thomas Tuchel has made.
Completely agree. Interesting that you mentioned that. So June 2003 was when Roman Abramovich took control of Chelsea. They are through to their third Champions League final under him now. And if you look back, it is actually quite extraordinary. You mentioned this season getting rid of Lampard, bringing in Tuchel. In 2013, they reached the Europa League final and won it. They sacked Roberto Di Matteo and appointed Benitez midway through that season, and it worked, European final. 2012, they sacked Andre Villas-Boas and appointed Di Matteo and won the Champions League. 2008, they sacked Jose Mourinho and appointed Avram Grant mid-season and reached the European final.
What it does is it creates a level of expectation. Now, it doesn't always work at clubs. It can create chaos. It can create an unsettling feeling at clubs. But what it's done at Chelsea is it's created this expectation and it's set this high bar for coaches and players to aspire to. Thomas Tuchel's not shied away from it. He got there and said, look, people are talking about, I need a pre-season, I need time. No, I have to win now. That's what Chelsea demand as a football club. And he has embraced that challenge. He hasn't shied away from it. And he's made his players embrace that challenge as well, because there's an argument to say that when you change coaches mid-season, some players can use that as an excuse. These players haven't. They've been inspired to do better. And when you have a strong squad, quite frankly, you don't know if you're going to have your place.
Yeah.
So you have to perform. If you don't, you're out the team. And the one thing we know about Thomas Tuchel, and I think this is a strength, is he's not overly sentimental when it comes to sticking by players. If you don't perform, you're out.
And I think that's quite refreshing as well, his whole approach to it, isn't it? And that no excuses mantra that he's kind of adopted, because I think that has instantly got the players on board. It could, I think, easily have gone the other way. And initial results maybe were integral to that. If there hadn't been, I think, instant evidence of what he was trying to do working and shoring things up, particularly defensively, then maybe the players wouldn't have been on board as quickly as they have been. But you have to remember, this is the team that, when he took charge, I think were ninth in the Premier League. They'd lost five of the previous eight games under Frank Lampard, who was still very popular in certain quarters of the club, of course, because of everything that he achieved as a player. And there were many that felt he'd still had plenty to go on and achieve as a manager. And coming into that sort of situation can be so difficult for a coach who doesn't have that affinity with the club, that history with the club. A lot of supporters wouldn't necessarily have wanted him, but he didn't seem to care about any of that. And he's been so impressive, first and foremost. If the results weren't there, this would be a very different story, of course. But his manner, I think, has won everybody over. He seems to have such a great rapport with the players. His personality has already, I think, come across, which might have surprised a few people who didn't know too much about him. And tactically, he's proved, and there was further evidence in the second leg of this semi-final, he is one of the very, very best out there, I think.
I felt there was a really important moment early in his tenure in a Premier League game against Southampton, where he brought on Callum Hudson-Odoi as a substitute, and he took him off before the end of the game, and then publicly explained why. And you had a lot of ex-players saying, you can't do that, that's sacrilege, you can't sub a substitute. He doesn't care about any of that.
No.
And I thought that basically was him putting his foot down, saying, this is what I demand of you. And if you show players that your way can be successful, they will follow you, because they want to win football matches and they want to win trophies. If you've got a guy who's showing you how to do it and he can back that up, then they will follow him.
That's the key, though, isn't it? Because that is such a bold move at that stage of his career as well, because that could easily have gone the other way. And if they weren't winning games, that's the sort of decision where you can lose the dressing room. But he has been able to back it up, and they've built from there. And it proved, I think, a real statement of his intent. And they've gone from strength to strength. But it was certainly a risky policy at the time.
Well, one of those players who has really thrived under Thomas Tuchel, and of course owes a lot to Frank Lampard as well, is Mason Mount, who scored the second goal. And here he is summing up how it feels to be in the Champions League final.
Confident to words really at the moment, but great performance on tonight. It was a tough game. You know what they're like. They're going to come and they're going to give it everything. Fori is brilliant. We worked hard. We should have probably had about five. I should have had one 20 minutes before I scored. But look, the most important thing is we won tonight. We want to go into every game winning it, but it's not over. There's one more game left.
Saw that interview, Mason Mount in the flash, had this beaming smile on his face. Here's a guy who joined Chelsea when he was six, I think, in 2005, when the showpiece was last held in Istanbul. He's come all through the ranks, and there he was in the biggest game of his life, most definitely, playing a central part. And at 22 years and 15 days, the second youngest Englishman to score in the semi-finals of the competition after Wayne Rooney. Pretty good company. And he is an example, right, Kevin Hatchard, of there were a few people when Lampard left who thought, well, was he just a favourite? How good is he? We've seen that boy tonight, and in the last couple of months, he is playing at an extremely high level.
He's one of the players who's embraced the challenge the most.
Yeah.
Because he didn't just have the challenge of winning a regular place in Chelsea's team. He had to impress a new coach, a very demanding coach. Not to say that Frank Lampard wasn't demanding, but Thomas Tuchel has very specific demands in terms of the tactics with the ball and without the ball. And if you fall below the standards he sets, then you won't get a lot of time to put that right. He's made himself indispensable. And I think he's going to do the same for England at the European Championship this summer. I think he is a player that has gone up a level. He has great belief. He has great quality. He really understands the game. He reads the game beautifully. His movement is excellent. Some of the positions he takes up during a game, very, very intelligent. And I'm really pleased for him, because I think it's important for our sport that there are stories like this, that there are players who have a genuine connection with their club,
yes,
who have these massive achievements with their club. That is massively important in terms of the connection with the fans. This is why we all fell in love with the sport, stories like this.
And you know what? In an era of, let's be honest, big finances and some of the transfer fees paid, not just Chelsea and Real Madrid, but on Tuesday night, Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain, Phil Foden is that same guy,
yes,
right? He's from Stockport, just down the road from where City train and play. And those two young Englishmen now are going to be lining up against each other in the UEFA Champions League final. Well, it really could have been more comfortable, let's be honest, for Chelsea. And here is their defender, Cesar Azpilicueta.
Massive performance from the team. We knew that we had a tough opponent, and I think the team performed really well, and I think we could score more goals. We cannot forget the saves from Edwin in the first half. Brilliant to not concede, to keep a clean sheet against this team that has a lot of options. Then I think the second half we clearly we were better. We had a few chances to score more goals. We had to suffer, but I think we fought really hard.
Well, you mentioned the goalkeeper there, Edouard Mendy. I know you did at the top, Kev. 8 clean sheets in 11 Champions League matches this season for Mendy and for the back four, or Chelsea as a defensive team. That is a remarkable record, really, and for their all of their fluidity, and you know they were wonderful going forward, even if they missed chances. They looked, apart from the opening 20-30 minutes, they looked very solid again defensively.
Talk about stories. Mendy's a guy that a few years ago was considering if he had a future in football. He was queuing up at the job centre, thinking that, you know, what was his next move? And here he is, about to contest the UEFA Champions League final. What I love about him is the calmness, and you can see that it radiates through the rest of the defensive unit. He's not a massive shouter. He's not somebody who will put drama where there doesn't need to be any. And he has made a massive difference. And that was a real problem position for them, I think. And he has been sensational. And I think the save from Benzema's shot, not the header, but the one that preceded it, Benzema with the shot on the turn, was magnificent. That's a world-class stop, because he's got a big frame, but he has so little time to get across and push that ball around the post. I thought that was terrific.
And that was so early in the game as well, wasn't it? And you just wonder what a different story the semi-final might have been had he not been able to make that save. And we might have seen much more from Real Madrid. It would certainly have changed the context of the contest. He didn't have many saves to make, and that's been the case, I think, for most of his time at Chelsea. So well organised have they been defensively in front of him, and there's no doubt that this success has been built on their organisation at the back. But every team with aspirations, I think, of winning this trophy needs a goalkeeper capable of rising to the occasion in those moments, few and far between as they might be. And Mendy certainly proved that he was certainly the man for that job.
There is another side to this coin, and that is Real Madrid's inability to cause Chelsea problems. And they tried to play Eden Hazard in a kind of 10 role just off Karim Benzema. That didn't work because they couldn't get him the ball in between the lines, in between midfield and defence. They couldn't get him into the box enough. They couldn't get him into areas where he could really do damage. He tried, and he got himself out of a few tight spots here and there, as we know that he can, but he didn't really get that platform built for him. Benzema had a couple of chances, but again, he was isolated. They tried this surprising tactic of pushing Nacho forward from wide centre-back on the left, doing the same with Eder Militao on the right. But the problem is, they're not that great on the ball. They're defenders in the truest sense, and they couldn't find the technical ability, the craft to open up spaces. And time again, they ended up down blind alleys. Well, Vinicius Junior, who is a really good player on the ball, stood on the sidelines and thought, well, where's the ball for me? Where is my opportunity to really run at players? And having nutmegged Ben Chilwell in, I think, the first couple of minutes of the game, Vinicius Junior then just got shut down by Chilwell, who I thought was brilliant on the night, actually. And I think there'll be a lot of soul-searching after this. And I think Zinedine Zidane will have some questions to answer. His record in this tournament is outrageously good.
Yeah.
But what he tried did not work.
So many times when Nacho was on the ball in a position where I thought, well, that should be where Eden Hazard should have the ball, or Vinicius Junior, and it didn't quite work. We can hear now from the Real Madrid and the former Chelsea keeper Thibaut Courtois, who had a very good night himself, actually, and he admits the best team won across both legs.
We didn't create enough chances to win. I think Chelsea defensively, they're really strong. They have a good organisation. So it was hard to create chances, and then I think the one big chance we had with 0-0, the shot from Karim was an amazing save by Edouard Mendy. So I think there the game changed. Well, a few minutes after they scored the 1-0, so I think there it changed a bit. But still, 1-0 wasn't bad because we knew we had to score anyway. So we try to score that goal, but the second half they came out better than us. They had more chances. They didn't kill the game earlier till the 85th minute, so I think that's where it was a bit the problem today.
Thibaut Courtois, they're nothing like being downbeat and then hearing someone celebrate in the back just as you're doing your post-match chat. But that is that's what sport is like at the upper echelons of it. And it will be Chelsea against Manchester City in the Champions League final in 3.5 weeks' time in Istanbul. They meet in the English Premier League this weekend. They met in the FA Cup semi-final, and Chelsea inflicted a very rare defeat on Manchester City, the only time that Tuchel and Guardiola, at the moment anyway, have faced. Now, how big an impact will that game have, Kev? And is that the blueprint that Tuchel will think will try and use that again in the Champions League final in 20-odd days' time?
It's a game that Chelsea can't afford to try and throw City off the scent, because they need to try and win it. That league game between them. Obviously, as you say, they've had this FA Cup semi-final. But I think the final will have a different look. They'll both be working on schemes already in their heads about what they're going to do in the final. I think it's a great advert for the UEFA Champions League. I think we've got probably the best two teams in the competition.
Yep.
I think that's fair to say. I think if you look at the tests City have come through, beating Paris, beating a good Dortmund side, I think if you look at how Chelsea have come through this, they've taken on teams that play in different ways. So Atletico Madrid, they had to deal with their defensive strength. They had to nullify the likes of Luis Suarez and Joao Felix. If you look at the way they approached the Porto game, Porto pressed, tried to really make life tough for them. Chelsea had to suffer, as they would say, maybe, in big swathes of that game and that tie, but they came through it. I thought they were sensational over the two legs of this. So I think we've got the best two teams in the competition. I think we've got two of the best coaches in the world right now. I think Tuchel is in that conversation now. And Guardiola is a coach he has immense respect for. You look at Tuchel's story, you look at what Tuchel says about Guardiola.
Yeah.
There's a lot that he has looked to emulate, but he's his own man as well. So I think it's terrific that those two guys are going up against each other.
Both teams have only conceded 4 goals en route to this season's Champions League final. Phil, it is the 8th One Nation final. Chelsea, of course, have already been involved in one of those. In the rain in Moscow when they lost to Manchester United on penalties, the John Terry slip. All of those things, I'm sure, in England are going to be shown a lot now, given it's another all-English final. But one stat that interests me, given that City are almost 20 points ahead of Chelsea in the English Premier League this season, that is that in the 7 previous One Nation finals, actually only 4 times has the team who finishes higher domestically in the league actually won. So in a way, historically anyway, the league form over 9 months has counted for little when it comes to that 90-minute match. Do you think the same will happen in Istanbul?
I do, in terms of the league table not mattering, I think that is absolutely going to be the case. I think 19 points, isn't there, currently between the two teams in the Premier League, which would suggest that Manchester City are the stronger side. But I think it's probably a 50-50 final. It's an entirely different scenario, of course, going into a cup final, a one-off game with everything on the line. And it is about momentum. Chelsea have that right now, but so, of course, the Manchester City. Were it not for Chelsea, then Manchester City may still be chasing history, trying to win every trophy going,
yeah,
because that semi-final loss in the FA Cup is the one that cost them their shot at silver in that competition. They've already got the English League Cup. It's only a matter of when, not if, they win the Premier League, and then they'll have this huge final to contest as well. But Chelsea and the progress that they've made under Thomas Tuchel will certainly feel they can do it. They have done it once already in that semi-final. I'm not sure that will necessarily count for too much. I don't think the upcoming Premier League game at the weekend will count for too much when it comes to the Champions League final either. But Manchester City's advantage in terms of the points that they have in the Premier League, that's nothing that they can rely on. That will go out of the window in 3.5 weeks' time.
I couldn't agree with Phil more. I think he's absolutely right. I think it's a 50-50 final. I think there are teams stacked with quality, squads stacked with quality, squads that have been really thoughtfully built, and 2 fantastic coaches. And what I really love about this final is there are some great young talents. You know, Phil Foden's so exciting. There were moments against Paris that made your jaw drop.
Mm.
And I think about Mason Mount and the effect he's had on Chelsea. Thought it was a brilliant night for Kai Havertz, his best performance for Chelsea. What we saw with him is what Bundesliga fans recognise from his time at Leverkusen. The grace on the ball, but the ability to hold the ball up as well, the strength in the air, the little touches, the awareness of who's around him. So it's great to see him perform in that way. Timo Werner got the first goal, but also want to put my hand up for Christian Pulisic as well, because the patience he showed to set up the second goal is what he's all about. In the box, he always seems to make the right decision. So many players would have gone for goal with only Courtois to beat, but he waited, he knew the angle was against him, saw Mount making the run, picked out a simple, perfect pass. So there are some great young players on both teams to watch for.
Christian Pulisic may well become the first ever American footballer to play in a Champions League final as well later this month. Let's hear from the City camp now. Defender Kyle Walker, who of course is hoping to complete a treble now. Phil mentioned it, not the FA Cup, but the English Football League Cup, which have already won, the Premier League, which they have already won as well, or are going to win very, very soon, and of course the UEFA Champions League. He says he wants to win it for the fans, the owners, and most importantly, the boss, Pep Guardiola.
It's one ticked off. We've still got an important game at the weekend now to hopefully go and finish, you know, the Premier League. But as you say, you know, the Champions League, all right, you've got the group stages, quarterfinals, the semi-finals and finals, but the Premier League is, I can assure you, 38 tough games, and to win that is a real achievement. But obviously this is the icing on the cake to finally get this club, you know, for the owners and what they've done for this club to get them finally into the Champions League final. You know, we don't just owe it to these, you know, brilliant fans that are here all the time and that welcomed us in to the Etihad Stadium today, but we owe it to the owners and obviously to the gaffer as well.
Well, you heard him mention him there. Let's hear from the City boss, Pep Guardiola. It's his first Champions League final in a decade, but he's delighted to be back on the biggest stage.
People believe it's easy to ride the Champions League. Always, the people believe because happened in the past, they have to arrive every year in the season in the final of the Champions League. So, unfortunately, getting the final Champions League now makes sense what we have done the last 4 years or 5 years with a lot of people. This is a little bit unfair, you know, because and every day the consistent these guys have shown during the last 4 years in all competition, this is the remarkable. Because I said before, so we want, this competition is like this, we won the first game because the shoot between the hips for the opening, there's something the stars, they are involved in that. But we won 11 games. I think this competition, just withdrawing Oporto, we make an incredible Champions League, and now we have 3 weeks to prepare the final.
Pep Guardiola there, he's going to face Thomas Tuchel in the Champions League final. We can hear from the Chelsea boss now, who's been giving his very early thoughts ahead of the showpiece.
First half was difficult because they had a lot of ball possession, made us suffer. But every ball win from us was dangerous. We were dangerous with counter-attacks. We never lost the hunger, we never lost the desire to defend. In first half, second half was even better structure to defend. It was a fantastic performance in second half, and we could have scored so much earlier, so much more to be safe. But no time for criticism now. It's a fantastic achievement and a big congratulations to the team. It's too early because there will be, hopefully not, but there can be injured players, can be players out of form, whatever happens. We need to wait. We need to wait and see. Hopefully we arrive with the whole squad and we arrive in a good moment and good atmosphere because it's not done yet. It's not done yet. We want to go all the way. That means we arrive in Istanbul to win.
Thomas Tuchel there. Congratulations to him. A second final in as many seasons. Quickly back to Chelsea 2, Real Madrid 0. Phil Blacker, your man of the match from that game.
I'm going to go with N'Golo Kanté again. I know he was in the first leg and I think he got the official UEFA award, so I'm not going to argue with that. He was everywhere.
Kevin?
I would probably go for that too, but I'll be contrary and go for Havertz instead.
And just very quickly, I want who's going to win this season's competition. Kevin, you first.
I'm going to go for Chelsea.
Phil?
So in the interest of fairness, I'll go with Manchester City.
1-1. OK, we shall find out on Saturday, the 29th of May. Join us on Match Day Live full uninterrupted commentary of Manchester City against Chelsea in the 2021 UEFA Champions League final. It should be a fantastic match and a great occasion. And don't forget, of course, to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But now from me and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye and congratulations to City and Chelsea.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.